Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
All right, greetings and welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for you to join us here. And as you know, BFC is engaged in a, I see we got a call on the line. I'll be right with you, 615. Last four digits of your phone number, 6331. Be right with you. Give me 1 second. But this is Talk Straight and sponsored by BFC Missions Incorporated, or Institute, as you know. And currently in Nashville, Tennessee, we're engaged in a dialogue and an informational campaign relative to parent choice. And you all know that tonight is the fourth night of Black History Month 2020. We're going to introduce our spotlight subject there, the founder of Black History Month, give a little historical background, but the majority of our conversation will be germane to the opportunities that parents have through parent choice. So tonight we're going to go to our website, those of you that are following us online, and you'll be able to follow us there to the Parent Choice Network, or PCNPN.org. And let's look together at some of the options that you have as a parent. But specifically, we want to talk about the option of educational savings account that's available now. So we'll get into that. We got about an hour and a half here before we wrap up tonight. Thank you for joining us. And again, and bear with us, we're on site. We're traveling on site in a different location. So if people come in, we invited them to come in. We want to encourage you, if you're at the Edmondson Pike Library, come on in. Give us some questions and join us. Let me welcome a caller here from 615-946-6331. Welcome to Talk Straight tonight.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. Good. Yes. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Good. Great. So if you'll bear with me just for a second, let me give a little background, and then we want to open up the conversation. I know you're calling from Nashville, so we definitely want to give you an opportunity to pose any questions that you might have for the show, and then we can kind of go from there.
Mr. Ricky Waller,
oh, yeah, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm fine, sir.
Good. Okay, so I'm going to be happy to entertain any of your questions to come in. Thanks for joining us tonight. Normally, this is a national dialogue, so we may have callers calling in from some of our normal cities, like St. Louis, Missouri, Chicago, Illinois, from Peoria, Illinois, from Selma, Alabama, I understand we may have some callers calling us in from Clarksville, Tennessee, or I'm sorry, Dixon, Tennessee, or Charlotte area. But nonetheless, this is an open dialogue. And again, I want to just emphasize that we're focusing on a local issue here in Nashville relative to parent choice. All right, so let me be quiet and kind of let you go ahead there, caller. Got a caller from 931-8428. Welcome to Talk Straight.
Hey there, how you doing there, Pastor Doctor?
Mighty fine. Okay, that's our co-host, Pastor Ricky Wong. All right, gentlemen, let's go ahead and get it started then. Do y'all know who started Black History Month, how it got started, and when, and all that good stuff? Do either of y'all know that?
No,
all right.
Sir. No,
okay,
sir. I'm slapped.
What'd you say? All right. Well, let me do this then. Let me go ahead and introduce it, and then we'll just go right into open dialogue. And, the number to call here is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. You listen to Reverend Darkrey, our co-host, Pastor Wallace on, Ricky Wallace on. He's the author of the powerful book, Still High, and the pastor of New Way Outreach Ministry here in Nashville. All right, so Black History Month, where did it come from? Carter Goodwin Woodson was a precursor to what is called Black History Month, okay? It was created in 1926. Woodson was a historian. He was an educator. He was also an author. And an activist, if you will, in many ways. He wrote the book, a very powerful book, The Myth of the Negro. And now, interestingly enough, this was written back in the 40s, The Miseducation of the Negro, and he pushed for Black History Week in 1926. It later became recognized for a full month. The whole purpose was to recognize the contributions of people that were considered Black. Now many people say, I'm not Black, I'm African-American, I'm not Negro. But I think you understand the experience, the social experience in America that we're talking about. So that's a little background on Black history. Maybe we'll swing back to it in a little bit. But let's open up our phone lines here and take some conversations. All right there, caller. 63, unless you want to give your name, we don't ask you to. It's not necessary. We'll refer to you by the last four digits of your phone number, in this case, 6331. Question coming.
Sir?
Yeah, you got the floor. Question or comment so far?
No, sir.
Okay. Pastor Waller, how about you, sir?
Yeah, I would say it's interesting to know that you made known of, the Black History Month. It was before it was the Black History Week. And, you know, when I thought about that, I thought about all the destruction that's going on right now in our society, amongst ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about Black people, if you will. Now,
right.
The thing what I like most about that is that there was just a certain amount of days that you were allowed to acknowledge the Black history. And that was for a week.
Okay.
And they said, we extended it to you, give you a month. But what about having a Black History Month, be extended to a whole year, Black history, because every day that come and go is a day gone. And so we have to do something about what's happening. And sometimes before that time is up, by the time that time is up, a person may not even acknowledge that, hey, this is it was Black History Month. It went by so fast. So we had to live each day for what it is and to do something about our problem, and it doesn't have to have a certain amount of days in order to get it done. Because right as we speak, I believe there's a lot of destruction that's going on, and I would say it's called the Black-O-Black crime. When
now
it comes down,
you're coming
to
down my alley now.
Yeah, and so I got a good young friend of mine, young brother, who have confronted me because he has a heart desire, you know, to reach out to the young. And what I love about it is that, you know, I asked him, you know, if he didn't mind, hey, man, you can call in. You're the kind we need to have a conversation with, because so many people don't believe that there is hope for the young. So that's where I'm at with the Black History thing, man. It should be every day. We shouldn't have no money.
I'm so glad you went there. Because I believe our guest on tonight would agree with me that every time you turn the TV on, here in Nashville anyway, the only public announcement or recognition a lot of these young cats are getting is when they're getting arrested or they kill somebody that got killed, you know?
Right.
And that's a history I can live without. You know what I mean? Now, how many young cats out there slanging and banging do you think even know or care about who Carter G. Woodson was? And the fact that he pushed for somebody to recognize the contributions to American life for 1 week or a whole month. They picked the shortest month in the year. What about that, Carter? What about that 6331?
My goodness.
I can speak on that for the simple fact that, like, with me, I'm from the streets. Like, I've been out here all my life. I've been going through a lot lately. Like, last year was kind of like the worst year of my life. My own people, I've been ganged from people that I was dealing with on the regular about police stuff. And that's why I want to speak on this. Like, our color, our kind is the ones that's losing every day. Like, if you look in all the jails and if you look in all the penitentiaries, all the penitentiaries and all the graveyards, who are the most there? Like, it's our people. So, and it is like more and more each day, like, these people don't have no respect, the loyalty to themselves no more. It's like, it used to be, I don't want to sound wrong, but it used to be fun or it used to be okay to be, okay to be in the streets, but we all struggled and we all went through things and we felt like that was the way because the older guys over us, like, they would pull us in and try to teach us something different or show us another way. But, like, nowadays, it's just like everyone going astray. We all killing each other. We robbing each other. Our own families killing each other. They stealing from each other, breaking each other houses. It's like we losing more and more each day. Like, if you look at the man, we getting lesser and lesser. It's like, if we keep on going through what we're going through, I feel like our color will be extinct one day. Which I know that it wouldn't because people are having kids every day, but it feels that we'll be extinct. And you know what I mean? It's like we're destined to lose. That's just how I feel. You know what I mean? I just don't understand, like, nowadays what's going on. Like, you know, so my thing is I want to give back to the youth. I want to be the one that be able to, because, like, now I got nice cars. I got a lot of nice things, but I want to tell the kids the side of the streets that they don't know about, that they didn't see.
Okay.
Like, when we was all coming up, like, when we was kids, we only seen the nice cars, the clothes,
mm-hmm.
the jewelry,
mm-hmm.
the nice women, the money
mm-hmm.
that they poured out. You know what I mean? We didn't see the other side. Our own cousins want to kill us. Our own friends want to rob us. Our own people are breaking in our houses. Like, that thing, that part, we never seen that. You know what I mean? So until now, like, that's what I feel like I'm here for now.
Well, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question. I hear you. I feel you, what you're saying, man. Would you agree that back in the day there used to be a code even in the streets, and these young kids don't even respond or recognize the code? You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
It wasn't necessarily something that was written in law, but it was a code of understanding. Some things you do, some things you don't do. They didn't even lost that, man.
Yes, you're right about that. And I feel like, see, I'm 38, so I kind of feel like it's kind of my generation fault as a whole. But a lot of us, if you look at a lot of us, like, we done 10, 15 years. Like, I done 10 years in the penitentiary. And a lot of the people my age have also done 10, 15, 20 years. So it's that code been replaced by these kids. They was able to just run wild. Like you said, with the code, it was the guys over us that made that code stand. You know what I mean? Like nowadays, these kids didn't get that. Like, they didn't get guidance.
Yeah.
They didn't get people pulling them over like, hold on, son, we not robbing, we not doing this. You know, we here to help
Correct.
Each other. You know what I mean? They done, yeah, they was doing wrong, but they also tried to do right as best as they could, you know, or the best as they knew how. But now everybody's running straight on. Nobody care about the youth. Don't nobody care about the others. All they caring about is self. You know what I mean? And that ain't really good for our generation or the generation to come after us.
You are so right, man. You are
right.
So right.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Pastor. What are we going to say? Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. You're right on target. Go ahead.
You're hitting the nail on the head, brother. And here's the thing. I know some people say, you know, I dropped out of school, so education wasn't nothing to me. Didn't mean nothing. But really what you're talking about is the process of learning for survival. And young cats don't even have that now. So they don't, you know, at one point we did a show where we talked about the average age of a young male in urban America growing up in the hood, in the streets. They don't live to get too often to see past 23 or 25 years old. See what I mean?
Yes, sir, you're right about that. So really, 18,
now,
19.
Either you're going to wind up locked up early, or you're going 6 feet under, right? Or you're going to get put away for a long time. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm glorifying it. I'm saying it because it's a problem. And we're really talking about history. I appreciate what Pastor Paul was saying. Let's make history relevant, see? Because really, technically, history is events in the past. But some of the same stuff you went through, brother man, young cats are still facing this hard time. When is it going to end? So
yeah,
we still have blocked that history. Who's going to stop it? Go ahead, Carl.
Yeah, I think the only people that can stop it is if it's more of me. You know what I mean? Because, like, I promise you, I'm not just talking because I'm on this line or nothing. Like, I'm done with the streets. Like, all that I went through last year, I just can't do it. Like, right now, I'm like, I even started a page. I never had an Instagram or nothing. This year, I say, you know, it's the new me, walking for God, the new me. Because, man, it's just like, if we don't start somewhere, then, like you said, where is it going to start at? If we don't put a stop to this somewhere, like, we got to be more like y'all generation was. Like, we didn't have a lot of blacks didn't come up in a two-parent home. So by us not coming up to that two-parent home, sir.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but like, see, like a lot of us not coming up in two-parent home, we also had our elders that knew that, and they tried to do what they can, like I was saying about our generation. Like these people, like these kids, they won't even listen to us these days. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's why with me and the pastor, we be talking, and I talk to him a lot about, you know what I mean? I done been locked up in NTC, juvenile when I was young. I done been to TAV, youth facility. I done been to Turner Center. I done been to West High. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, but where does it stop at? Like, we got to do something different. Like, and this is the longest time. Like, I've been out going on 6 years. But this is the longest time that I've never been on probation or nothing. Like, I ain't been on probation. I got out because I think I even told the pastor that. I said, man, you know, every time that I went to jail, I prayed to God, like, man, just let me get out. Let me do this. Let me talk to this youth. But I done been out of the penitentiary twice, and I never done it. You know what I mean? I never gave back to the youth. You know, he sent me back one time, and I said the same thing. See, this time, like I told the pastor, I think he had a different plan for me. So that's why I went through the things that I went through with these guys that dang it, they was my family. You know what I mean? But it ended up having to be with some police stuff. And, like, I don't mean no harm. I just can't. Like, some things I just won't do. No matter what I'm trying to do, I'm not going to tell on nobody because I look at the whole situation. Like, they still got families. They got kids. They got people that depend on them. And if I'm telling on the next man, what is that going to do for these other kids that this man was taking care of or that he might have been trying to steer them away from the streets? Now he gone. Who is there to be to look after them and tell them something different? So now they running the straight as the rest of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You see the hunger that he has, Pastor. You know,
his master back.
You know, he has such a strong heart desire. You know, to make a change, to show someone something different. So he just have a heart to step out and to do what he can do, and that happens to be a good starting point for him. So we always, you know, one to another, we always bouncing off some good information, man. And I think we need more of him.
Yep.
And as he just said, you know, that's what it's going to take, more of him. You know, we got to have his kind.
Right.
And I just told him, so you're a good start. I mean, just like, you know, that's the way you look at it. You just get started, and then you'll watch how many other young brothers will come around. Because, you know, I've been on the ground for a long time. Of course, you know that. But, amen. And I took him up under my wing because he got so much heart when it comes down to just want to do something different. And that's what, you know, we talk about it a lot. And just to know that the brother just shared about things in the materialistic realm, he don't even really care about that anymore. You know, and that's the beauty of knowing how sincere he is. And so I just want to thank him for coming and to enlighten us with some good knowledge. And if you don't mind, Pastor, share with him, if you don't mind. I know you're very humble about it, about your son and daughter and how, you know, you brought them up and how they went on in college and things like that. Give him a taste of that because he loved to hear that. You hear him say about the two-parent home, and you're the best example for that for us, if you don't mind.
Well, let me say I appreciate that. And brother, let me tell you something. Langton Hughes was an author, a poet, back in the 1920s, and he wrote a poem that said, "Life ain't been no crystal stair." In other words, it's been rough. So the point here is, I was supposed to have been dead 35 years ago on 35th and Drexel, okay? Because some cat rolled past on me and my partner, who's gone now. And they opened up with a sawed-off shotgun and a deuce and a quarter. And when I turned around, my eyes were closed. I thought it was over for me. But my partner, he's laying there, and everything he had in him is spilled out on the ground. You follow what I'm saying? So according to every statistic, as a black male growing up in the housing project in Chicago, I was supposed to be dead and gone. You understand what I'm saying? Either that, I was going to wind up in the pen myself. Or strung out on drugs somewhere, making a bunch of babies. That's what the data says, right? Well, God said no. But God says I'm different. Make a long story short, I'm grateful that he got me out of the concrete jungles of Chicago and I came here to attend Fisk University. But what I said in the short is that we're going to break that cycle, for me at least, if nobody else. And for my children, I wanted something different. I think this is where you are. This is where you are right now. You realize that all the things, the negative things and the heartache and the pain you went through, that you could have been gone, could have been over for you. But something allowed you to stay here. Something allowed you to stay here, and you have a powerful testimony. And that's go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like you, see, I've also been shot. I've been shot in my chest, my leg. I was like 14. I've been in the streets since I was 12 years old. Like, I was the one that, you know what I mean, I come up in a house, a single-parent home, with me and four other sisters. He got to the point, like, we had to take turns getting shoes. And you know about me coming up in the house with four girls, a lot of the times, you know, when it became my turn, mama get one of them some shoes. You know what I mean? It's like, I walked around with holes in my shoes. It's like I was forced to the streets to help my mama to pay bills, because it have been a few times that we come home, ain't no lights. We got to light candles. You know what I mean? Life ain't, you know what I mean? It's been rough. You know what I mean? Like, But I just want the youth to know that turning to the streets wasn't the right way. I thought that it was all them years, but it was not. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I promise you, this ain't nothing but the second month of this year. This has been the best year of my life since I've been listening to God and following God's path.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, man, I ain't turning around. I'm walking forward. Ain't nothing behind me. God got what's behind me and on the sides.
Right,
and I know he got what's in front of me. So I'm following his steps,
right,
and I'm just keep moving forward. That's all I need to do.
Yes,
like, I'm just...
Yes, sir.
Let me say this to you. Let me say this to you. There are a lot of people with your passion and with your story. They want to share it, but they don't know where to go to do it. And that's in part why we created this platform, Talk Straight. I don't want to do nothing but talk straight to me. Keep it 100. If you ain't ready to do that, just go on somewhere else. If you can't keep it real with me, don't do nothing at all, right? And that's what we strive to do, is tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. Now, in reality, here's where we are. You heard me when I started the show. We're specifically focusing on empowering parents. Much like, I don't know if you have any children or not, but right now, there are people who have children, and they're concerned about how well they're gonna do in school. Because like you, you know what I mean? You grew up in a poor neighborhood situation, go to a terrible school, and it don't serve you well. Let's not say that's everybody's experience, but we're talking about what's real now, right? If how to take all of that and translate it into a lesson so that every day these young cats walking day by day, going nowhere fast, somebody will be able to educate them and teach them how to turn their lives around so they don't have to repeat the same cycle. I was talking about history.
Yes,
it's supposed to be past events. Why is it that every 20, 30 years, some cats are seeing the same thing you done been through the last 30 years ago, 20 years ago? They're doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. You continue in the same behavior, and you want something different. That's the definition of insanity. That can't be real.
Yeah. You're right about that. That's why I ain't going to lie, I had to leave it all alone. Leave it all alone. But it feels good. Like, I promise you, it feels good. I've never felt the way I feel now. I've never felt that. Like, it feels good just to walk for God. And, like, he will put things in your path, and he will show you the way as long as you trust in him and keep your faith in him. He'll make a way, and I know that. I'm a firm believer, and I'm a living testimony of it as well. You know what I mean?
Right.
I promise you that.
Okay. I'm going to read a statement to you. And this came from Carter G. Woodson in his book, Miseducation of the Negro. And that's partly our topic. I'm going to talk a little bit before we leave tonight about Parent Choice Network. Parents, if you're listening, call me, 657-383-0944. Give me a holler, and I want to give you some information. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But let me read this to you, caller. And I do notice that we picked up a caller from St. Louis there. Give me 1 second. We'll be right with you there. Carter G. Woodson writes in his book, when you control a man's thinking, you do not have to tell him about his actions. You do not have to tell him not to stand here or go yonder. He will find his proper place and will stay in it. You do not need to send him to the back door. He will go without being told. In fact, if there is no back door, he will cut one for his special benefit. And guess what? His education makes that necessary. What do you think about that, Carl?
Sir, hold on. What'd you say? Can you please repeat it for me? One time I had dropped my phone, I didn't mean to.
Okay, that's all right.
You
with me now? You with me now?
Yes, sir, I'm with you. I apologize. I'm with you now. I apologize.
All right, big brother. All right. No problem. Here's a statement from Carter G. Woodson. Okay? He said, when you control a man's thinking, you do not need to worry about his actions. You don't need to tell him to stand here or go yonder. He will find his proper place and will stay in it. You do not need to send him to the back door. He will go without being told. In fact, if there is no back door, he will cut one for his special benefit. His education makes it necessary. Now, let me just ask a question to you and give you a little bit more flavor on that. When you look at how some people continue to spiral in the same abyss and cycle of nothing, and they've learned how to be helpless. Can you appreciate what Carter G. Woodson is saying right here?
Yes, sir. He really saying a mouthful, like, you know what I mean? He really kind of saying a mouthful, especially when he's saying you learn to be, to become, because that's what a lot of us doing without even knowing that we're doing it.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? It's like we following destruction and don't even see that we following destruction.
There you go.
I mean, that's basically what he's saying in so many words, especially if you allow somebody to control your thinking. Like, it's, I can't remember exactly which one it is, but it's actually in the Bible about that. You know what I mean? Thou shalt not, thou who put his trust in man, who, I think one of y'all should know what I'm talking about.
So as a man thinketh, so is he, Apostle Paul.
It's Jeremiah. I think it's Jeremiah or something.
Okay. All right. But go ahead.
It's like really, listening to man is the worst kind. That's basically what he's telling me. If you ain't willing to follow God and take what he got to tell you, then you just headed down the wrong road. You headed for the path of destruction. And you all by yourself, and you need to be saved. But our Father will save you only if you take your time out to listen to him and trust to him.
Okay. All right. Well, let me bring caller from St. Louis in. Caller, you've been following the dialogue, I presume. Any questions, comments so far?
Yeah, hello, doctor. How you doing?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. You know that saying by Carter G. Woodson fits in very well when you hear people always complaining about white supremacy and racism. And it embeds in folks' mind. It embeds in folks' mind, like, you better not try to do something for yourself, or the days and thems won't let you. They're going to get you.
I see.
Yes, it does.
Okay. And, you know, I was going to comment when the gentleman was speaking. This was written back in 1947 when he first wrote the first version of Miseducation of Negroes. And interesting thing about Carter G. Woodson is he started school late. He was 20 years old when he first went to ninth grade. 20 years
old.
Well,
you see,
because
he wrote a book before that called The Education of the Negro in 1920-something, I believe it was, maybe 27. It preceded that book. And it's good talking about the things that's needed to educate people at that time. And, of course, it was coming off the heels of people like Washington with his Tuskegee Institute and several others.
You know,
hey, Pastor, excuse me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to kind of elaborate on that when you started out. You was talking about the Black History Month, and then you went back into the Black History Week. That was amazing. And I think about all the destruction that's going on that the young brother's talking about, you know, and to be able to just dive into it, you know, with a really powerful and unique understanding that here's a young brother that's sharing something with us that's so needed. Can you allow him for a minute? Because I got a friend of him just listening in. Hear some of this shit from him. Would you mind him elaborating on a little bit of that he said about what he went through?
Sure. Well, if you will, and if you don't mind, Pastor, if you can tell us a little bit about your experience, your former experience with education, there, Carla, and whatever else you'd like to add to that.
Pastor, what is he saying? Like, you want me to talk about what I done went through? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, man.
What is it that you learned over the years? What have you learned?
Okay, what
about
learning
your life? Over the years, I learned, man,
that, okay, I even was told this recently. I was told this. It's like out of 100% of the guys that's in the streets right today, only 3 or 4% not willing to tell. Like, and I look at that whole situation, and it played back to the part about us going to jail, and you look into the jails and you look into the graveyards. And it's to show that we outnumber everything and everybody. So it's us that's taking the loss. And, you know, when I constantly hear that, and then I'm saying, like, if it's 100% of people in the streets, only 3 or 4% not willing to tell, then who is that affected? It's affecting our kind as a whole. Like, so what can we do to stop that? You know what I mean? It's not affecting the whites. Most of them really was bringing the drugs here. You know what I mean? But they never the ones out in the streets pushing. They not the ones killing each other. They not the ones that got liquor stores on every corner in their neighborhood. That's not them. You know what I mean? They stay. I learned that over the years. Like, and I'm looking back and I'm seeing, like, you know, if we constantly working, regardless on if we feel like we working for ourselves, man, we only working for the white man, for the man that's in control of all the stuff that's getting it here. You know what I mean? So he happy when we killing each other and locking each other up, and you know, because that means it's kind of like we in modern day slavery in a way. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what I'm kind of getting. Like, we still in slavery. If we looking back at what's going on, you know what I mean? It's just another form of slavery. You know what I mean? And it's only us that can save each other. If we willing to listen, if we willing to grab each other's hand one by one and walk with each other out of this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if it's only, but if you look back, though, our people are also the ones that hurting each other, because we the only kind that don't want to help one another. You know what I mean? Like, we ain't trying to get each other no jobs when we own stuff. We still going out to find the other people. You know what I mean? We just, I don't know. It's just like we really messed up. We all need prayer. We all need to be saved.
You know, caller, in my early morning reading, I ran across something today that says it's easy to hurt a black man, because there's a whole lot of his own people standing in line to help. And that's an amazing dynamic, that people have been conditioned socially to self-destruct. Not to,
yes, sir.
The first thought is not to, if I see you struggling, right, not to jump in there and be happy with you and help you through your struggle, be successful, but to find a way to make you trip and fall. If I can't stop you, I'm going to put enough weight on you, slow you down, and then you may give up on it. You follow what I'm saying? Now, what do you think drives that mentality?
Man, I don't really know. I think it's our past, really. I think it's just what we have grown accustomed to after so long. It's like, because I've never seen so many people that hate to see one another get ahead. Like, that's one thing about me and my whole life, man. Anyone that I see that's doing good, especially working, especially that got out of the street, going to school, like me, I'm in the process. I started school on the 24th to get my CDL. Man, like, I'm really doing things different. And, like, another thing, I smoke, even the pastor know this, I smoke weed all my life. I don't smoke weed no more. You know what I mean? I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I smoked weed all my life, man. I gave up my number one love, changed my life. You know what I mean? Because I got to take a drug test when I go to this class. But I am going to be for real. I have to smoke some hemp to try to wean myself off of. You know what I mean? That's why I just, you say talk straight, I'm going to talk straight. You know what I mean? That's all I know how to do. But I feel, it's, I never felt like I'm sweating right now. It feels so good just to be able to save the new me, because it's a lot of people. And I don't mind saying my name, man. My name is Anthony Urshry, Tony Urshry to the streets. You know what I mean? A lot of people know me. So what I'm saying, I'm saying this because a lot of people will be proud to even hear that this is my change. Like, I'm going through it, man, but it feels good. Like, I promise you, it feels good. And I just want to help as many as I can, man, and I just want to give my testimony to everybody that I can, because this phone call, it ain't enough time on this phone call for me to fully give my testimony. You know what I mean? And I promise you it ain't. Like, I got a whole lot to say. And like I told the pastor, man, do anything you can to get me in front of these kids. If I can save as many women as I can, man, then I'm happy. Then I'm blessed to be able to do that, because, man, I just don't want this for us. Like, I don't want this. Like you say, I got 6 kids on my own. You know what I mean? So I'm trying my best to do everything I can to keep them out of the streets as well. Is to grab the ones who don't have father figures in their life and bring them with them as well. You know what I mean? Because it's, man, I swear we're losing, man. We're losing.
Well, no, I appreciate where you are, and I want you to know that part of what we're doing, the work that Pastor Wall and I are doing together, we're looking to formally open an institution where you don't have to shoot in the dark to try to figure out what to do. But we're using a scientific method and approach to turning lives around. You're right. And guess what? You are, believe it or not, you are one of those teachers from the schools without walls, they call it. In other words, you're not in a formal structure classroom, but life experience itself is a major source of information and structure. And somebody can learn from your experience, man. We just got to get you in the right place to teach. What'd you say, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
When the teacher show up, the student will learn. When the student comes, the teacher will
appear. Go, Pastor.
Yeah.
When the student
show
up, the teacher will appear, brother. That's it.
All right.
He's on it.
Okay,
Go ahead,
Saint
Louis. Go ahead.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Let the church say amen. Amen.
So let me bring this in, guys, because this is Black History Month, and, you know, and I hear what you're saying, Pastor. We have to make sure that our history is not shortened to 28 days or 29 days, but it's the everyday cycle of instruction. Hmm. I think St. Louis would agree with me on this, that there's a need for intentional actions and steps toward making sure that we don't give our young people excuses, but give them the knowledge they need to be empowered, to be emboldened in the world, not just in America, in the world. Am I wrong on that, St. Louis?
Well, you need to show the history that's being made today, something that they
that's
can relate
too.
To.
That's true, too. That's true, too. That's true, too. I mean, but, you know, interestingly enough, St. Louis, when you think about it, and I think the caller would agree with that, Brother Ursary, there are a lot of people who feel as though I can't see myself 10 years from now because I don't see myself living after today. So
if you ask me to
future pace down the road and tell you what I'm going to be doing 10 years, I don't see myself living beyond the day. That's how hard it is for me. But you're making a powerful point, St. Louis. We're making history every day. And I'm going to tell you something. The people that statistics and other groups and folks have written off, if they wake up and realize the power that they have, the dominion that they have, if nowhere else in their own world, man, you'd be waking up a sleeping giant thing. And that's really what time it is. That's what time it is. If history don't do anything else for us, it ought to get us to a point where we wake up to that realization. But
that's
go ahead. Somebody
will
say something. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I was thinking about, you know, how you can become businessified, and that's what we need more young brothers who have businesses and things like that, man, that can feed off of each other, as we were talking about earlier.
Sure.
Try to be
sure
to one another. And when you get to doing that, things will change because you go from self destruction to being able to restore what it is that has been lost. I would say, like, that's what's going on.
Absolutely.
The only reason why destruction is because we had to come lost out into a world without God in our lives. And now, you know, just knowing that a little bit will go a long way. And I think that's what he's talking about. So, yeah, man.
Right.
I appreciate you allowed him to speak on that because some of his friends, you know, desire to hear him. And, you know, they're very inspired by that, man. And I appreciate it.
Well, that's good. We need more of that. I'm glad that, Pastor Waller, we can provide that platform through Talk Straight. And as you said, we only have a limited time on tonight. Now, Carla, we'll be here for 2 hours on Thursday. So you have a whole two-hour block. You just come get your testimony if you want to. But we'll give you all
I can. Excuse me, I didn't mean to cut you off. I can, but see, like, I don't know if I'll be able to stay the whole time because – you know, I do clean bills. I got a cleaning service. I'll be cleaning bills. So, you know what I mean?
Okay, great.
Thursday is one of the days that I do have to clean. I'm actually on my way to clean now. So, right at 7 o'clock, I should be at one of my churches.
Hey, not a problem. No pressure. You welcome anytime. What the songwriter said, you ain't gotta be a star to be on my show.
Anytime.
Get in where you fit.
I sure appreciate it. I ain't gonna lie, I feel good that I'm even able to even start talking, because I feel like today is the day of my start. Like the pastor know, I've been trying to my best to, you know, kind of give my testimony, kind of show what's, you know, what I done went through, and let people see that, you know what I mean, we always think it's the way we was grown, accustomed to thinking that it was the way and that it's okay, but I promise you that it's not. Like, man, I feel so much better that I'm not in the streets. Like, I ain't making nowhere near the money that I was making. But, man, when I'm cleaning them bills, I'm happy, man. I don't have no worries. And like I told the pastor, like I'm with one of the guys that ganged me. Like, I actually DM'd him to let it go. You know what I mean? Because I got into the church that I'm headed to now. It was on a Saturday, and it said, I opened the Daily Bread because I haven't read the Daily Bread that day. And the first thing it said was, seek no revenge. You know what I mean? It say, seek no revenge, but I'm like, the whole time, God knows. He know how I am, and he know how I feel. Like, my kids was in one of them houses that got shot up. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so my first thing was, God, what is you trying to tell me? So as I read the Daily Bread, it was about a man who had got killed. But his wife and his daughter knew the people who killed them. You know what I mean? They invited the people in their house. They clothed them. They fed them. And they gave them the word. And at the bottom of that message, it said, this could be painful. This could hurt. It could nearly be impossible. But let that go. So I'm like,
okay.
You got to be talking to me. Because, like, everybody, like, people are asking me in the streets, like, because it's been going on almost a year. And, like, I told them in this message, I don't care how he feel about it from now on out. I'm done with it.
Mm.
And if he want to keep it going on, I'm going to let God deal with him. You know what I mean? Because I'm done. I got work to do for God, and that's what I'm doing. So like I told you, I ain't looking back to 2019. Like I say, 2019 was the worst year of my life. But 2020 has already been the best year of my life. So I got to keep moving forward and doing his work.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's it, man.
So
that's it. You know, we could become lost in yesterday and have a pity party. We can soak all day, all night, or we can do like you're saying, say, I'm determined to let nothing stop from my journey. And I appreciate you.
Yeah.
I appreciate your tenacity in that regard, because that's really where it's going, you know, success. Can I tell you something? You kind of got to be a little unusual, or some people say crazy, to be successful. See, successful people are willing to take a risk and step outside the box and do things differently, and to be disciplined enough to follow that pattern and stick with it. That's what makes them successful. They can't afford to be mediocre, hanging out and just wasting time with folks that ain't trying to do that, because they're busy being what? Successful. And that's really what time is.
You're right.
You ain't
right.
Got time for fooling. You know, and sometimes it's our own family, man. Sometimes it's our own family.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's
our own family. A lot of times.
Hey,
they the main ones that hate on you when you are trying to do something successful.
Hey,
that's because they so stuck on not wanting to open their eyes and see what's best thing for them to do. They too busy worrying about what the other person is doing, what you're accomplishing. So they hating on you and not even knowing that they pay attention to their own life and their own path, that they wouldn't have time to be stressed and worried about what the other person is doing.
Sure. But you know what? Here's the good news. Sometimes, I asked a question a couple years ago, caller, and let me know when you got to go out and stand you out working. If your brother's drowning in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, only one of y'all know how to swim, that's you. But when you go to save him, he gets to kicking and pulling and screaming and fighting you to where both of y'all are going down. Do you leave him alone or do you save him? And if you save him, how do you save him? I asked that question. I'm going to get an answer. You got to knock him out.
In my eyes, if I got to knock him out just to make sure that he stops floating, just to make sure we get him saved and turn him around. And
yeah, look.
hold it from behind, and that's what I do. You know what I mean? But I got the same. I can't leave it.
Hey, look here. When he wake up on the other side of safety, he's going to be mad with a headache. But guess what you can tell him? I saved you, didn't
I? Yes, sir.
I didn't let
you're
you
absolutely
drown,
right.
And sometimes that's the way we're going to have to help. That's the best way to help some of our people who can't see their way yet. A little jilting, you understand what I'm saying? Some of us need a little band whooping a little early on. But I was talking, Pastor Wallace was asking about my children. It was a standard for them that they were going to get an education and that they were going to have some hopes of doing something productive. Now, once they got their education, both of them are grown now. Both of them past 21. Can't make them do nothing. But at least I can go to sleep knowing that they're in a position to do for themselves. My wife and I are proud of them for what they do. And I tell them all the time, Colin, you're no better than anybody else. If they do what you did, they can be successful. But be willing to reach back and share that with somebody else. You see what I mean?
Yes, sir.
See, a brother by the name of E. Franklin Frazier wrote a book entitled Black Bourgeoisie. He talks about black folk that got them a few cookies, Pastor Wallace, and a cup of milk, and they ain't know nobody else from the hood.
Yeah, I got you. I know that one now. You're right.
They don't even want to share none of their cookies with nobody.
You know the old saying, that's an old friend of mine. Yeah, you're right, because the old saying says that's an old friend of mine who's doing good, real good, as a matter of fact. But he don't know me now. But I can take way back. In other words, don't forget where you come from.
Well, here's the good news. The same cat OJ said, don't call me your brother now. If you don't mean it, don't be saying brother. You understand? What about that St. Louis? I know St. Louis from that era too. What about that St. Louis?
Yeah, I imagine that's the truth.
So, say that the church say amen.
Uh-oh.
That the church say amen. Well.
Gentlemen, in a minute, I'm going to share some information about parents' choice. But before we cut off this part of the conversation, I just wanted to thank you all. Now, this was unexpected, Pastor Waller. I didn't expect our guest to come today like he did, but I'm glad he did because it was real. Just as, you know, over the weekend and what have you, ran into a couple of people, and guess what? What he's saying would be very helpful to them because there are young guys who've given up. They've given up.
Oh, yeah.
They've already threw in the towel, and as far as they're concerned, they don't expect to be around much longer. And they're just going to live every day like it's their last day. They can use that.
Hey, Pastor, I mean to cut you off, Pastor. Is it a way we can get them together and kind of talk to them and face-to-face, so, you know what I mean, I can see if we can at least save one or two of them or all of them. If it's possible. If they willing, I'm willing.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just say this. One of the things that Pastor and I have been doing and continue to work on, we have a location in place, and you have his information, Pastor. If you'll get with him, and I'll be happy to, we'll make sure we put you in front of some guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
But see, what we don't want to do is to just be blowing hot air at them. We want some continuity and continuation with them. You understand what I'm saying? That's why a lot of them give up, because you hear the day and then you drop them like a bad habit. They don't see you no more. And they feel like you're running tight. You're running game too. So we want to make sure what we do, that there is some continuity to it, that is, we can keep up with them and make sure that they have what they need. It costs money. It does cost money.
Yes, sir.
But the truth of the matter is, when your heart is right, it don't matter. If you're willing to go out there, let me tell you something. The Almighty will provide. You don't have to believe right now. You can catch that on your way home, though. What were you trying to say, brother?
I'm just saying yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, so we appreciate that. Any other comment on that before we I've got about 6 more minutes before I go into this Parent Choice Network. The last 30 minutes tonight, we're going to give some background and information. And so people can, I'm going to walk you through the website, basically, the Parent Choice Network website, so parents can follow us and know how to take advantage of these resources here, basically. We're on this campaign, so Tuesday nights we've been lowering our normal structure of the show so that we can be on site at different places. We were grateful to entertain a few parents here tonight where we are. They didn't sit in with us, Pastor Waller, but they came in, they took care of business, and they moved on. Now we got them situated. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Down where they need
to go.
But for those that are following us online, you can still call us here, 657-383-0944. That's the number here in the studio. You can give us a holler. We'd be happy to entertain any direct questions relative to that you'd like. But like I say, 6331, we're on Tuesday and Thursday night. Anytime, you're welcome. Come on in. You got a place in the house. Don't be shy.
Yes, sir.
Because you'll be home.
Yes, sir.
If you don't learn how to get some
nutrition, you said we want to keep it going, we got to keep it going. Like I said, I had a lot to say, but I not only that, I'm walking for God now. So it's like really,
okay.
I'm ready to do His work. Like everything else,
okay.
It subsides to that. So anything that I can do to help or anybody I need to talk to anytime, like I'm always here.
Yes,
like Pastor got a number that he can always get in touch with me. So, you know, that's just my calling, and I know it and I feel it. And I'm, you know, he don't punish me enough for not doing what I ask him to do. So now I'm tired. You know, that's the worst whooping you can get from a whooping for my father.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, I'm tired of being whooped. I'm tired of being spanked, man. It hurts.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? I just want him to congratulate me from now on and thank me for what I'm doing, because I'm tired. I'm telling you, it hurts.
Yeah.
Severely hurts. So, but I just pulled up to my bill, and I got to get ready to clean up.
Yes, sir.
But
thank
y'all for having me. And like I say,
yes,
anytime that I can be here, I'll be here. And I'll be here Thursday as long as I can or when I can. But I promise you, it won't take me long to clean my building. When I'm done with my building, I'll come right back. If I can, I'll call again. You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm going to get you in front of some kids. I'm going to get you in front of some kids, man. But we appreciate you tonight.
Yep. All right. Thank you. Y'all have a good
thank
night.
You,
all right. All right now.
So we appreciate that, and I know we're probably going to turn the flavor here a little bit, but my sister sitting here to my right, she was nodding her head. Now, Pastor Waller, we can't be half-stepping. The sisters are watching us now.
Yeah, that's good. We appreciate
now,
that.
They don't want to just bump in our time. Now, they're watching us now. They're watching.
Right. That's
but,
right. I like that.
So let me do this right quickly. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us here. Let me open up the phone lines again, especially here in Nashville, in the local area. 657 is the number you call into the studio, 383-0944. And I want you to, if you're at your computer, you're following us on Facebook. We thank those who are. I'm sorry I didn't take time to recognize those people who were. But thank you all for checking us out here on Facebook. Go ahead and follow me, if you will, to pcntn.org. That's the website. And we're just going to walk through some of the choice options that you have. Now, I want to be very clear. I want to encourage you to consider private school. One of my children graduated from private school. The other graduated from public school. And it was a struggle for my wife and I, but we kept them there because it was the best environment for them. And that was a parental choice of ours. My daughter did well and with her peers and what have you, graduated from a public school. But you as a parent get to choose that. Don't nobody dictate that to you. Fortunately, we have here in Tennessee now this educational savings account, which allows for scholarships for you to choose private schools of your choice. You'll be able to soon look and see what schools are participating with the state. And they'll have their website and contact information. You go visit them, and you can use the scholarship there, and it'll help. It may not pay the full tuition, but it helps you to get there. And there are some other schools that are open themselves up to this very thing. Now, I heard the concern from a lot of parents that's just going to be white people at those schools. Well, most of them were started by whites and predominantly were, but I can tell you now that we're working in concert with those who that's what it's about for. They do want to open the doors and provide that option to you as a parent, and they are prepared to address and recognize and respect your needs. But I know one school, Dr. Christian Academy is one. You check that one out. But, I know that guy real good at basketball. I know this cat that's starting this school.
Yes, sir.
But anyway,
familiar
let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and open up the page there, Parent Choice Network. And that's at tcntn.org. And if you go there, I'm going to go there with you. Go on there with you, and you'll see the home page there. At the home page, you'll see where we're on right now. The blog page, you'll see where we're talking tonight from our topic. This is a mixture of Black History Month. We're talking about Carter G. Woodson a little bit. But let's go ahead and click down where it says scholarship eligibility. If you're on that page, scholarship eligibility, you'll see that there are a series of questions. As you answer these questions, let me just back up and say, some people try to punk you to say, you shouldn't do that, just keep your child in the public school. Well, if you got a child that's failing, the school is not doing a good job, guess what? Don't let nobody punk you out of opportunity. You're the parent. Those are your babies. And you got a right to see to them getting what they need. Don't let nobody blow a bunch of hot air. Okay, I'm gonna leave that alone. Let me get back to she. My sister telling me stay focused, doctor. Stay focused. So I'm gonna stay focused here. So we have the page that says scholarship eligibility. You'll notice that it asks a series of questions there, grade level, income, what type of school. Are you interested in, basically, how many in your household? Those are qualifying questions, and once you get to the end, you submit it, and we'll certainly be getting right back to you about where you are, and we'll give you some other information to that link to the state website. That should be coming very shortly here, but we want you to consider it. Now, let me just also say that if you're comfortable with the school that your child is in, stay there. If you're comfortable with it, stay there. But if you're not, here's your opportunity. Here's your opportunity. Now, we're back looking at the web page to the far left-hand corner. You'll see Parent Choice Network. See the home link, the blog, scholarship eligibility, which we just left. Let's go to the link that says Choices for Tennessee Students. Choices for Tennessee students. And let's look at who qualifies first. Then we'll go back up. Right now, Metro Nashville Public Schools are in that period where you can choose different schools. Some of them have lotteries and things of that nature. We'll get to that in just a second. We'll take you to that. We'll click on there, see what's available. Then let's look at, again, the private school ESA option, okay, which is what we've been looking at. Then charter school. There are some charter schools that you can choose. Or homeschooling. I want to show you how to take advantage of that as well. But before we do that, let's go down and let's see who is it that qualifies for educational savings accounts. All right? Participating students must be in grades kindergarten through 12. Beginning the 2020-2021 school year. So it hasn't started yet, but next fall, at the next school year, you're in K through 12, basically, you can benefit from it. Students must be zoned to attend either Shelby County Schools or Metro Nashville Schools. Let me tell you the logic behind that. This is where you have a significant or the largest number of schools that are performing below, have low performance, not making any yearly progress and things of that nature. Okay? So that's how they came up with this. And this is a rollout. It's a start. Now, I do want to say that many people say, well, if I can get some help with my children tutoring, I've been advocating for that for a long time, even as a candidate for public office, and I'm still screaming and hollering, and I'm hopeful that we'll get to that point where we can use these for that as well. But quite honestly, we've got to focus on where we are right now, and I hope you stick with me because we're going to get you to that point. I'm going to be raising Cain every day, as we have been. That's an announcement from the library. We're here in the library. All right. So, again, we're working to prayerfully broaden that out. But right now, must be zoned to one of those school districts, either Shelby County or Davidson County, Nashville. Must be one of the following. Enrolled in a Tennessee public school prior to next year. Either entering kindergarten or entering any grade having just moved to Tennessee. If you're just coming in, you will qualify. Students' household income must not exceed $43,966 for a two-person household, $55,458 for a three-person household, $66,950 for a four-person household, or $78,442 for a five-person household by the 2019-2020 school year's end, okay? Parents must verify household income annually and submit their federal tax returns as proof of their income from the previous year as proof. The household is eligible for temporary assistance for needy families, or TANF, as it's called here in Tennessee, you would qualify for. Let's talk about the participating schools. I mentioned that earlier, and I'm going to do my best to get a gentleman on who's been actually working with some of these private schools who are very interested in opening their doors to this option. So schools remain autonomous. In other words, your hands are not tied by many of the things that cause perhaps well-meaning public schools to be ineffective at reaching children and teaching them. The state gives participating schools maximum freedom to provide for educational needs of participating students without governmental control. Participating schools are not required to alter their creeds, practices, admissions policies, or curriculum in order to accept participating students, except as is necessary to comply with the requirements of the program. So you as a parent can go have a real adult conversation with the school, but you'll get a chance to check them out first. They'll have their website and contact information to go do a visit. If you're not happy with it, you don't have to go there. It's your choice. It is your choice, parent choice. Okay? We're trying to build this network of choice for parents so that they will always be in the driver's seat and they don't feel as though they have any other options. So, again, that's the background of the schools. Continuing, schools must be private schools, either Category 1, that is approved by the Department of Education, Tennessee Department of Education, Category 2, which is approved by a private school accrediting agency, or Category 3, which is regionally accredited. Schools must administer the state end-of-year TCAP test for math and English language arts for students with an ESA in grades 3 through 11. So if your child is at a private school who does not do that now, and they have your child who is using TSA scholarships, that school will then provide that test and make a compensation. Again, go talk to them. Check them out. That will be coming up, and we'll be announcing those dates when you can actually go to the state website and to vet those places. Again, whose choice is it? Your choice. You ain't got to do what nobody else says. You're grown. You had them babies. Those are your babies. All right. All right, with that being said, let me continue on. I'm digressing there, Pastor Wallace, and I shouldn't do that. But nonetheless,
That's all right.
Now let's scroll back up to the top of the page where we look at the different schools. I said earlier that if you're comfortable and your child is doing well in a public school, by all means, keep them there. Most important thing is the best environment for their development and transition. All right? So Metro National Public Schools. If you're following me still, click on that link right there. Don, I see you out of Selma, Alabama. We're coming back to you in just a minute, Don. I'm doing a special presentation for parent choice options, but I'll be right with you shortly. So Metro National Public Schools, let's click on there. And what you'll find is their webpage. This is their webpage, and there's information about expectations, a link for parents and students, and then it says schools. That's where I would encourage you to go and pay attention to that, because you can see what schools are available. And I think they have a link to their individual website. If you want to, you were in a zone where you want to transfer your child somewhere else, you can. This is where you can find all that information that's listed here. And it says in bold words, you have options. So let me just read some of the important dates that Metro spelled out. Tour Tuesdays began on January 14, 2020. The school choice process will begin, it has begun already, on the 27th, last week. You can download the optional school calendar for 2021 for important dates and details. Then there's a link that you can list on there with any other questions. Again, my point of bringing this up tonight is to make you aware of how to access this information. I've had some people say to me, because everybody is not technologically savvy, it's just the way it is, and even though they use internet for everything else, they tend not to find these websites. That's why we put them on there. But the most important thing is that you have access to the information. And again, for those of you who want to keep your child in Metro schools, you want to consider transferring them and that sort of thing, here is the information about choice options, how to apply, and where to register, and all those things. This is for Metro Nashville Public Schools. It's part of your school choice option. All right? So we got Metro Nashville. We've been talking about the educational savings account or private school option. And I want to encourage you to look at that as well. Go ahead and fill out the information and get yourself qualified. See if you qualify. And then from there, we will get right back with you in terms of the next steps and how to take advantage of that information. Let's look at charter schools just for a second. Now, what we're going to do here is we're going to go to the charter school page for the Tennessee Department of Education. And there are some links here about resources and things of that nature and how they operate and what's different about those in traditional public schools. One thing you should know is that charter schools are also public school choice options. By law, they are. But they have a little bit more flexibility to do things in terms of reaching students. Okay? But I just want to, again, introduce you to the page. One other thing I want you to know about is if you'll look on this page right here where it says choice options, we're on the Tennessee.gov page under education school options, charter schools. To the far left, at the bottom, you'll see here, it lists individual education account programs. This is for children who have special needs, whose parents who want to. The thing is, I want you to click on there, and you'll see what the requirements are. You'll have to take your child out of Metro school, and if there is a school that's willing to accept your child and address their special needs, essentially what they call a 504 plan or an IEP, individual education planning for them, that's an option for you as well. So if there's a private school that you're interested in, and you want to talk to them and ask them. Now, ESA and the IE accounts, individual education accounts are different, all right? But that's a choice option that you have. That's the point that we're making. It's another choice that you have. All righty. All right, so we got that. And before our time get at it, because the library is telling us they're going to be wrapping up at about 8 o'clock here, so we want to, you know, want them to come in the library and come and get us. All right, so right quickly, let's go to homeschool. Let's click on the homeschool back at the Choice Network page. And this is Tennessee Department of Education website again. Homeschooling in Tennessee. You'll see here where it gives you instruction as a parent. A parent can take their child out of the public school and they can homeschool, but you're required to provide certain types of instruction for them and to make sure that they're prepared to take the standardized test or the state assessment, basically, so they can get credit for middle school and high school, those Carnegie units. There are some people doing a fabulous job with homeschooling. I mean, some well-organized groups. You'll learn more. We'll probably put another link on here for that on this webpage, but I just want to, again, make you aware of what the option is for homeschooling to parents as well. All right? And on the homeschool page, it lists charter schools as another option, the educational savings account program, then the homeschool. One other thing I want to emphasize is Tennessee Promise. That provides children that are graduating from high school. Say you didn't get a 3.0 or you didn't get a 21 or better on the ACT. You can still go to college, a two-year institution, for free. And you go there and you do well, you can transfer those hours into a four-year institution, a state institution, and get a bona fide bachelor's degree or a four-year degree. So there's no excuse for us not to take advantage of it. This was not always available, but it is now. If I had been elected to office as a state senator, these are bills that I would have been happy to sponsor myself. And we've been advocating for the last 20-some years. Thank God we're there now. And now we have this new option here for educational savings account. Again, parents, it ain't about Democrat, it ain't about Republican, it ain't about the boogeyman, Batman, or the Easter Bunny. It's about you. It's your choice. It's your option. And that's why we're bringing it to you. We're going to be talking more about it. So those are the four things I wanted to cover with you tonight. Before we're going to be back next Tuesday. We'll be at this location again throughout February. Thank you. Throughout the month of February. And we'll be encouraging people to come here. This is our makeshift office where we're setting up, engaging, answering questions for parents. This website is designed to help you learn more about it. And we'll be here so you can meet us here. Edmondson Public Library, the Edmondson Pike Public Library. We're setting up here so we can engage you. We were grateful for the parents that came in today. We talked to them and got them where they need to be. Y'all come on down. Be with us next Tuesday on the 18th, I believe, that is for our very next. We'll put it out there, though. But yeah, it will be next Tuesday here at Edmondson Pike Library. And from we'll do the live podcast from 6 to 7:30, but we're here from 4 o'clock to 7:30. All right. Now, let me do this. 657-383-0944. We got about, for the library, kick us out of here. We got a few more minutes. Let me get any questions or comments from those that are online, and I'm going to leave the phone open for about 10 minutes. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Any questions coming? Don, how you doing, man? Thank you for joining us tonight.
Questions doing coming? Good, Mr. Dirk. How you doing?
Man, we're holding the road, big brother. Holding the road. All right. St. Louis, question or comment before we go?
Well.
Don't preach, St. Louis. Don't preach that. Don't preach. I'll say amen. I will say amen.
Amen.
All right. I guess that's
No, I'll tell you what I wanted to say. Parents should have, you made a statement about state assessments. Well, parents should
about
have their
what?
Child assess. You made a standardized test assessments.
Yes.
Well, parents should have their children assess also, independently of anyone else, because it's the independent that has nothing to gain that will come back with a realistic display of where your child is performing. And if your child is not performing the way of the entity that say they are performing and you paying them, then
right.
you have a right to raise concerns.
I think that's a good point. And actually, to that point, ESA does provide, let me make sure I'm not giving you wrong information, it does allow for therapeutic services and no, it does provide for tutoring but you have to put your child on a private tutoring. And again, advocating for opening that up. But you're making a good point.
There's a service on the internet called ALEK, A-L-E-K.
Okay.
And all this
okay.
can be done online. I forget how much they charge. All this can be done online, and they would take your child through a set of drills and so on and come back and tell you where your child is performing academically.
Okay. Well, that is thank you for sharing that information. I hope Nashville is listening to that and they take advantage of that. You know, I do realize that there are a lot of people who want choice options, St. Louis, and they don't have a lot of money. And so this scholarship is new, but it provides them the opportunity to take advantage of that. So I want to encourage them to look into it. And you said that was called ALEK. Would you say that again? What ALEK?
It's A-L-E-K. It can be done online.
A-L-E-K.
Take your child from the lowest of grades, depending on where they are, to the highest of grades. As a matter of fact, many colleges, I know LSU do, you have to enroll on ALEK and go through the drill and take the test that they give you at the end of the drill, and that's going to be reported to the college that you are looking at enrolling in. And if your grade is not at a certain level, you're going to have to, you know, do some, you have to face some consequences. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So is this a secondary level assessment or?
No, it starts off as kindergarten.
Okay. So all with K through 12 then. Okay, great. All right. Well, this is about parent empowerment. That's what we're about, parent empowerment. And I want to emphasize the fact that for my friends that still teach in metro schools, as I once did, thank you for the work you're doing. Those of you that are dedicated, that are making a difference, this is not intended for you to become upset, afraid, or anything. Keep doing what you're doing, but let's work with parents and make them real partners in the education of our children. That's really what we've been missing. And unfortunately, a lot of babies have fallen through the cracks. We heard the story of one young brother earlier about how he grew up, you know, having it hard. What if somebody cared enough to intervene, you know? But anyway, I won't go on that. We just got a few more minutes here. Thank you, St. Louis, for that. Don, you want to say something before we get out of here, man? We're going to have to cut out of here real
well,
quick.
Well, I kind of woke up late, Mr. Doctor, but I'm going to say something to you. I want you to think about this.
Okay.
There is no such thing as Southern strategy.
As what?
You hear me?
No,
there
I didn't.
There is no such thing as Southern strategy.
Southern strategy, okay. What they got
there
to
is no such thing. Mr. Dockery, guess what's going on down here? And you playing along with the game. Don't go by what the media tell you. Come see for yourself. Mr. Dockery, they miseducating the masses right here intentionally.
Okay. All right. Well,
Cahaba is the first
capital
of Alabama. And you know what they do down here, Mr. Dockery? I done sat here and watched. They don't tell you that our forefathers started the Republican Party down here in Cahaba.
Okay.
So the media is miseducating the masses.
I understand. I don't listen to the media, Don. I'm an educator, a doctoral level educator, and I'm going off empirical evidence, sir. The media don't dictate to me. So when you hear me talking, I ain't telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. Okay?
I agree.
So, but
I'm just letting you know what's going on down here.
No, I hear you. I hear you. But nonetheless, we're our own salvation, Don, and we're gonna get there, brother.
You're right. You have to go find the truth for yourself, not what somebody else brought to you. That's how I found the Bible. You right.
Pastor Waller, help finish this for me. You shall know the, what it say, Pastor?
Yeah, the truth, brother.
And what it going to do for you? And what it going to do for you?
It shall make you free. Yes,
my. I'm trying to be free, but I ain't trying to be stuck. No, nothing to nobody, man. I got to be free.
Y'all right with
me. That's right.
But all right, listen, guys, we're on this special modified time, so I'm going to need to go ahead and start breaking down it because the librarian came and winked at me already. If she wasn't so pretty, I'd be mad at her, Don. But we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you all for joining us tonight. We'll be back next Tuesday night at this modified time from 6 to 7:30. But Thursday night, join us on Talk Straight for our full two-hour show, and we'll be talking about some more Black history. But thank you all so much. And with that being said, Pastor Waller, go ahead and give us a final word and get us out of here, man, and we'll see the rest of y'all on Thursday night.
Oh, man, we had a joyful time tonight. We want to thank everyone who had a chance to tune in, for those that had a chance to talk, as well as those that was just listening. And we trust that something was said that would be able to cause a person to tell somebody about Talk Straight and let them know
that
they're invited. Because we know that the word does say that this is the day that the Lord has made. He tell us to rejoice and to be glad in it. So we don't have to put off for tomorrow for that we can do on this day. Go tell somebody that it's nothing wrong with Psalms 133, verse number 1, where it says how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Dockery.
All right. With that being said, on behalf of our co-host, Pastor Wallace, and your host, Reverend Dr. Whitman Dockery, thank you again for joining us. We'll see you on Thursday night for our two-hour Talk Straight. And next Tuesday, we'll be back here for our modified show. And with that, we will see you then.